Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you the romantic story of a great American writer starring Gene Raymond and Hala Stoddard. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. They are the kind of cards you can be proud to send, proud to receive. That's why, through the years, Hallmark cards have been America's favorite greeting cards. So if you want to send the very finest, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. These three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. And now to preside over the Hallmark program this evening is a young man well known to Broadway both as actor and producer, Richard Gallmer.
Thank you, Tom Shirley, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Several months ago, I came across a story in Reader's Digest by John K. Lagerman. It was called Husband to the Month of May, and it seemed, I thought, to offer excellent material for the Hallmark program. We put Robert Sonnadella to work on it, and after reading his fine dramatization of this true romantic story, well, I knew we had something rather special in the way to radio fare. Our casting problem was considerably eased by the fortunate presence in New York of two young, talented performers who we are sure could, well, they could capture and create the flavor of another era. An era when sailing ships moved in and out of Boston Harbor on the tides, a graceful era of demure ladies and gallant gentlemen. The Hallmark program is proud to present from Hollywood, Gene Raymond, and from the Broadway stage, Hala Stoddard in Husband to the Month of May. In the Boston Customs House 100 years ago, a young man faced an older one across a massive desk.
Sit down, Mr. Hawthorne.
Thank you.
You wanted to see me, sir? Yes, Hawthorne. I believe in being blunt. We won't be requiring your services here in the custom house any longer.
But I've been here for over 4 years.
Yes, and you've done your work well. But it's a political job. And you have to realize, Hawthorne, that sometimes political expediency...
Political expediency? But I'm a good worker, and I have a child and a wife.
I have noticed, Hawthorne, that you are impractical. Only an impractical dreamer could think that a wife and child could make any difference in a purely political matter. You're dismissed, and that's that. Goodbye, Hawthorne.
I'm Nathaniel Hawthorne. And now, at the age of 42, I wander the streets of Salem and enter the offices in Salem and beg for work. I have not yet told Sophia that I have lost my position in the customs house. Sophia will bear it like a woman. That is to say, better than a man. But I don't want to tell her. I don't want to bring this new burden to my wife. She's been burdened ever since I met her. And even before that. I remember every glance, every shade of expression on Sophia's dear face. The day when she and I first met.
And here is my sister, Mr. Hawthorne. Sophia, Mr. Hawthorne.
How do you do, Miss Peabody?
Mr. Hawthorne?
How is it that I've never met you before?
I never go out, and I seldom see visitors.
Sophia's not well.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But she keeps in touch with the world, don't you, Sophia? She reads a great deal.
Yes. I've heard that you write, Mr. Hawthorne.
Well, rather fanciful tales, I'm afraid, you see. I do not keep in touch with the world.
Well, that doesn't matter. I found in my reading that sometimes the most fanciful writers can evoke more fundamental reality than the ones who are members of the crowd and use a stubby pencil.
What did you say?
Why, I said...
You said what I've been thinking. What I haven't dared say because it would sound presumptuous.
You should have more courage.
Why, Sophia, questioning Mr. Hawthorne's courage.
Of course she questions my courage. I question it myself. But, Miss Sophia, no one has ever before hinted that my secret ideas might be correct.
That's no excuse for lack of courage.
Sophia!
That's another idea of mine.
You know, I
almost think I could talk to you, really talk to you. Talk about the things that I've kept hidden from the world. Talk about the stories I want to write.
I'm sure we'd both love to hear about your stories.
May I bring them here sometime, read them to you, Miss Sophia, and hear what you think of them?
Why, we'd be delighted.
What? Oh, you too, of course, Peabody.
Well, perhaps not.
Elizabeth?
Well, my brother. And why this excess of good spirits?
I've been to the Peabody house.
We've often been to the Peabody's, both of us. But I do not remember that we ever returned with such beaming faces before.
Ah, we never met Sophia Peabody before.
Oh. You found her attractive?
Very.
I see. Nathaniel, sit down.
Why, what's the matter, Elizabeth?
You know, of course, that Sophia Peabody is not well.
I know that, Elizabeth.
Remember it, Nathaniel. And do not seek her out again. Remember it.
That was the way it always was. My sister Elizabeth depressed my spirits and deflated all my hopes and aspirations. She ruled the household, but it was not just Elizabeth who kept our big house gloomy. Long ago, one of our ancestors, the famous witch judge of Salem, had received a victim's dying curse on all his posterity. And in the house where I grew up, I felt the evil spell early. But to me, the saddest and most terrifying fact was that my mother never left her darkened bedroom, even after I had grown up.
No, Nathaniel. I will stay here. I am not well.
Well, you're well enough to come downstairs with my help, Mother.
No, I'm not.
That was my house, and that was my heritage, yes. And that was my curse. Until I met Sophia, I had never felt release from the gloom that had long cut me off from my own creative spirit. But now the world seemed different. The house could depress me no longer. Elizabeth could depress me no longer. Elizabeth certainly could not keep me from seeing Sophia again.
It's an excellent story, Nathaniel.
I hoped you'd think so. But it's not the sort of story that is destined for great popularity. I'm afraid people won't like it.
Nathaniel.
Yes?
Why should it matter to you if people do not like it?
It didn't matter to me a little while ago. But something has changed in me.
Yes?
Yes. You know, Sophia, I've always been a nobody. I've worked, yes, at my stories, but nothing has come of them, and it hasn't mattered. I lived on my family's inheritance. I've lived with my family, yet somehow alone.
And that's why it didn't matter?
And that's why it didn't matter. But I live alone no longer.
Nathaniel.
What is it, Sophia?
I think I know what you mean. I'm sure I know what you mean. And, Nathaniel, I must remind you that... I must remind you of a certain fact about me.
That you are ill?
Yes.
I've never understood your illness.
No one has. Not even the doctor. I received a bungling overdose of medicine when I was a child. And I've had this nervous ailment ever since.
It keeps you from many things. Isn't that what you were trying to say to me?
Yes. From games and sports. From social activities.
From marriage.
Yes, Nathaniel.
I see. Well, Sophia, you've told me what you had to tell me. And now, I want to remind you of a fact about me.
What is it?
I no longer live alone, Sophia. It was the truth. It was the tender truth and the brave truth. But I left one thing unsaid. If I no longer lived alone, I had correspondingly increased my responsibility. I could no longer spend day after day shut up in my house writing stories that no one wanted to read. I had to find employment.
No experience? Well, then I'm afraid you're wasting my time, Mr. Hawthorne.
You have references, of course, Mr. Hawthorne?
I'm afraid not.
Then how do you expect to get a job with me?
I'm very sorry, Mr. Hawthorne, but I've told you before, my employer has no interest in you. Finally, I did something that I found distasteful. I went to a political friend of the family, and he promised to speak to his political friends. When I went back 3 days later...
Congratulations, Nathaniel. You start working Custom House on Monday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Well, don't you want to hear what your salary is?
Oh, yes, of course.
$1,200 a year.
Wonderful.
Isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes.
Think of it, Sophia. $1,200 a year.
Better than that, a job, a place in the world.
May I thank you, Sophia?
For what?
I didn't get that job. You did.
I don't understand.
Don't you? Really?
No, I suppose I do, Nathaniel.
Sophia.
Yes?
I told you once that I no longer live alone.
Yes.
And now I wonder. I wonder about you, Sophia. You were a recluse. You never saw people. You stayed alone and read your thoughts. It changed for me when I met you. Has it changed for you?
I no right to say.
Your illness?
Yes.
It makes no difference to me.
It does to me.
Things have changed for you, haven't they?
Yes.
Sophia, my dearest...
Oh, Miss Peniel, what are we going to do?
Don't you know?
I cannot marry you as long as I'm ill.
I said your illness made no difference to me.
I know, but... Nathaniel, do you believe miracles can happen?
I believe miracles can be willed to happen. And can happen because they are willed.
I've been praying for a miracle. I've been exercising the muscles of my will until I can feel their power. For 6 months now, I have been better. I've been infinitely better.
We're going to be married, Sophia.
Oh, no, not yet. Still have spells sometimes.
We're going to be married, Sophia.
No.
You can't keep from me, and I can't keep from you.
No, no.
Sophia, my dearest. Come here to me.
Nathaniel?
Elizabeth, Sophia Peabody and I are going to be married.
Are you mad, Nathaniel?
For the first time in my life, no.
Allow me to point out to you, my dear brother, that Sophia Peabody is an ill woman and totally unfit for marriage.
You have pointed that out, Elizabeth, in one way or another, daily for some time now.
Yes, because you are so moonstruck that it needs reiterating.
Well, allow me to inform you, Elizabeth, that Sophia is ill no longer.
This is not true.
It's quite true. The doctor has confirmed it. And we are to be married.
Never.
Elizabeth, this is strange talk. You sound almost jealous.
Oh, Nathaniel. Do I have to speak the truth to you?
What do you mean?
Sit down, won't you?
Yes. Now, what is it?
Nathaniel, you know that no person can escape responsibility... to other people.
Of course not.
Harsh sometimes. The unhappiness that can come to us because other people lay their hands upon us, sir.
What are you getting at, Elizabeth?
You would not want to be responsible for anyone's death, would you?
Oh, of course not.
Or for any serious illness.
No, but
particularly for the death or serious illness of someone close to you.
Elizabeth, I must ask you to tell me what you're driving at.
Mother has often called me to her room because you and Sophia are on her mind. She has told me that if you do not give up Sophia, it will kill her.
Mother said that.
Mother said that, Nathaniel. And now, I'll leave you alone with your conscience.
and Hale Stoddard will be back in just a moment with the second act of tonight's Hallmark drama from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. And now here's Dick Calmer. Nathaniel Hawthorne, the hero of tonight's story, spent 12 years perfecting his literary skill before he had a story published. Today, he's still recognized as one of America's finest writers. For such an accomplished writer, it was the simplest thing in the world to express his love and affection in beautiful language. Unfortunately, all of us can't express our feelings as easily as Hawthorne did. No, most of us get sort of tongue-tied, at a loss for just the right words. That's when a fine Hallmark card can help. Yes, it can speak for you and me, can say what you want to say the way you want to say it. And when you send a Hallmark card, it shows you cared enough to choose the very best.
That's right, Dick. Just as Hawthorne worked to perfect his writing, so the Hallmark craftsmen work to perfect every card they create. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. So when you want to send the finest, do what discriminating folks do. Look on the back of the card you choose for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. You'll find Hallmark cards on display in America's finest shops and stores.
Remember those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Tell your friends you cared enough to choose the very best. And now back to Gene Raymond and Hale Stoddard for the second act of Husband of the Month of May.
How are you, Mother?
Fairly well, thank you.
Mother, do you ever worry about me?
Yes, often.
You know, I'm not a child.
I know that.
It isn't right that you should treat me as if I were a child.
Do I treat you that way?
Yes.
Well, perhaps it's because you act as if you were a child, Nathaniel.
I don't believe that's true.
I'm sorry, Nathaniel, but it's only too true.
That's puzzling. For years, I shut myself in. I accepted no responsibility.
Wouldn't you say that was childish?
Yes, it was. But now I've gone out into the world. I've secured a job.
I know. And I'm glad.
You're glad?
Of course. I have wanted you to be strong. I have wanted you to make your own way.
Then why, at this time of all times, do you tell me that I act like a child?
Partly because you gave me the opportunity. Partly because, since you have become a little more manly, I have the courage to bring my thoughts into the open. And very much because you are still not completely a man, Nathaniel.
Mother, you're not going to cross me. You're not going to prevent me from doing what I have to do.
I cannot prevent you from doing anything, Nathaniel. But it will kill me if you go on as you have been going.
It's difficult for me to say this to you, Mother, but I'm going to marry Sophia Peabody, and nobody's going to stop me.
Nathaniel.
It's no good telling me I mustn't. It's no good telling me you will be ill.
Nathaniel, don't you understand? This is what I have wanted you to do.
What?
Of course. What did you think I was talking about?
But Elizabeth said...
Oh, you listen too much to what Elizabeth says. Elizabeth has set her face against your marriage. And you have done wrong to listen to her. She, told you it would kill me, didn't she?
Yes.
Hmm. When she said that, she was talking about herself. No, wait, Nathaniel.
I must talk to Elizabeth.
No, not when you feel as you feel now, Nathaniel. You must treat Elizabeth tenderly. She has worshipped you. She's made a kind of idealized man of you, a family god to be cherished in secrecy and silence.
She's never acted as though she felt that way.
Of course not. But that is how she has felt. And you must not talk to her until you can absorb that knowledge and treat her gently.
Well, very well.
I know something much more pleasant than that for you to do now.
What is it?
Bring Sophia to see you.
So I married Sophia. I rented a house in Concord, and we lived there for years, surrounded by fields and wooded hills. In the winter, we bundled up to skate on the river or walk through the woods. In warm weather, we fished or swam. It was the happiest time of my life. Sophia was like a twin sister to the spring. I was husband to the month of May. There was only one dispute between us.
You're not writing, Nathaniel.
Of course I am.
You're not writing enough.
I have my work.
You mean your money-making work?
Of course.
You have your other work, too, Nathaniel. Your writing.
We're back at the beginning of the argument, my dear. I do write when I have time.
Nathaniel, listen to me. Your writing is more important than your job. You have greatness in you.
Which is another way of saying, Sophia, that you're a woman in love.
Yes. And with a great man. And I will not allow you to dissipate your greatness.
Thank you, my dear. But I will not allow you to starve. That was our one dispute, a mild one, a joking one, a dispute that arose because she loved me, and I loved her. It was not really a cloud on our existence. There was no cloud on our existence. Until...
Hawthorne, I believe in being blunt. You have a political job, and sometimes political expediency. Well, Hawthorne, we won't be requiring your services any longer.
I wandered the streets in Salem and entered the offices in Salem and begged for work. But it was just as it had been before.
I'm afraid you're wasting my time, Miss Hawthorne.
How do you expect to get a job with me?
Mr. Hawthorne, I've told you before. My employer has no interest in you.
I'm afraid you're wasting my time, Mr. Hawthorne.
My employer has no interest in you.
Sophia.
Oh, hello, Nathaniel.
Sophia, I have lost my job.
My poor darling.
It's like you to think of me.
You're thinking of me?
Of course.
I'm glad.
You're brave, Sophia, but...
No, I am glad.
I have more bad news.
What is it?
I've known for a week. I didn't want to tell you until I found other work. I haven't been able to find any.
I'm glad.
Well, please don't talk that way.
It's the way I feel. You're going to be able to write now.
No, not very easily. I shall have to look for work each day.
Well, you'd like to write, wouldn't you?
You know how I want to.
Then don't look for work. Write.
Now, Sophia.
Dearest, just a moment. Will you open the drawer in that cupboard?
Open the drawer?
Yes.
Well, of course, if you say so.
That wooden box. Take it out and open it.
Very well. Why? Sophia.
I've been saving it.
Sophia, all this money.
I wanted you to write the thing.
Oh, my dearest. Dear, let me hold you.
Oh, thank you.
Sophia.
You will write, won't you?
You know I will. You know I will. You know I will. You know I will now. You now. You've made everything possible for me, Sophia. You brought me out of myself. You made me stronger and stronger. And now you've given me the chance to write. Well, I will write, Sophia. And every book will be a monument to you, my dear wife.
Nathaniel Hawthorne did write. He wrote such masterpieces of American literature as Twice Told Tales and The Scarlet Letter and The House at the Seven Gables. Thanks, Hala Stoddard and Gene Raymond, for bringing his love story to life again tonight.
Well, let's say we just repeated it, Dick. You can't bring anything back to life that never stopped living.
You're right, Hala. The romance of Nathaniel Hawthorne and his Sophia is one of those things that will never die. It's one of those things, incidentally, that Rowena Cheney was talking about in her poem, Remember.
You know, Gene, I've been listening to the Hallmark program regularly this fall, and on every broadcast, Tom Shirley introduces Dick Calmer as a producer and an actor. Well, I think it's about time you did some acting. How about reading Rowena Cheney's poem for us, Dick? Right now.
Ayla, I'd like to. Above a world protesting at its pain, behold the quiet, vast, unchanging sky. Remember things that sleep to wake again. Remember all the things that cannot die. Remember, man is powerless to efface the wind, the rain, the warmth of nurturing sun, a silver sound that falls on echoing space. And though his hand should ravage one by one all singing strings, all instruments on earth that ever drew a song from music's breast, music would not be dead. All that is worth living will live again to be expressed by blundering mankind, seeking God afar through black delusions, groping toward the sky where burns the molten message, star to star. Nothing that truly lives can ever die. Dick Dahmer. At Christmas, as always, the cards you send reflect your taste, your personality, as surely as the clothes you wear. That is why so many discriminating folks look on the back of the cards they send and receive for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. The Hallmark card. The Hallmark card. Send and receive for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words are your assurance of highest quality. And since it's only about 5 weeks till Christmas, tomorrow isn't a bit too soon to select your Christmas cards. So plan to go to your friendly Hallmark dealer tomorrow for your Hallmark Christmas card.
You know, Tom, I'd like to make a suggestion, too. Why not remember the folks you can't be with on Thanksgiving Day by sending them a Hallmark Thanksgiving card? They'll appreciate your remembering them on this traditional family reunion day.
And remember, at Thanksgiving, at Christmas, and on every occasion, those three identifying words, a Hallmark card, tell your friends you cared enough to choose the very best.
You're cordially invited to be with us again next week at the same time for another fine dramatic program brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards, America's favorite greeting cards. At that time, you'll hear another vital and inspiring drama starring Miss Geraldine Fitzgerald.
May soon be seen in RKO's The Locket. Husbands of the Month of May was dramatized by Robert Sanadella from the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Shirley speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting.